You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
A very pleasant good Saturday morning to you. Welcome into another edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner. It's right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. This program each and every Saturday during the football season is brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. We got a good show for you today. Joining us first will be the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, Coach Ken Vigdahl. The Bulldogs finish off their regular season with a 55-14 win over the Storm Lake Tornadoes, and it was already a guarantee heading into the week, no matter how the game turned out. But it did solidify once again that the Bulldogs are playoff bound for the second year in a row. They are the district runners up. They were also listed in the 16 spot in the RPI standings that came out last night from the Iowa High School Athletic Association. So via an at-large or via the district automatic qualifier, either way, the Bulldogs would have been in the playoffs. I guess that part was up in the air, whether or not they were going to finish in the top 16 in the RPI. But they had the automatic qualifier spot, so they're in the playoffs for the second year in a row. They'll find out their opponent here in less than 2 hours from the Iowa High School Athletic Association. We'll talk with Ken Vigdahl about the big hurt they put on the Tornadoes last night in Storm Lake. Then we'll be chatting with Galen Catholic head football coach Jeremy Schindler. The Jays see their season come to an end to the number 3 ranked team in the state. But boy, they have nothing, absolutely nothing to be ashamed of with their performance. A 38-22 loss to West Hancock. We're going to talk about it with Coach Schindler. But they're the first team to put up more than 20 points on the Eagles since the number 1 team in the state did it. St. Ansgar put up 24 against them. Nobody else has put up more outside of Galen Catholic. So I talked to many people in Britt that said Galen ran the ball on them the best anybody has run the ball against West Hancock this year. So a really good test for West Hancock. Galen Catholic gave them one heck of a ball game. Can't wait to talk with Coach Schindler about that contest. And then we're going to be joined by the head coach of the advancing MMCRU football team, Coach Kyle Oswald. The Royals hosting their first playoff game in Marcus since their state championship run in 2015 as Marcus Merritt and Cleghorn in 8-man. And boy, what a job by Coach Oswald. They defeated and the crew, of course, Kingsley Pearson River Valley was the opponent, 50-14, the win there for MMCRU. We'll talk with Coach Oswald about that. The other playoff games around the area, 5th-ranked Remsen St. Mary's defeated Harris Lake Park, 52-23, and the Hawks are on to the round of 16. They've won 22 games in a row. 10th-ranked Akron Westfield's moving on to the round of 16 as well, a shutout of Tri-Center, 35-0. And then in Class 1A, the Hinton Blackhawks had their season come to an end to AHSTW by the final score of 21-0. And we mentioned that with the MMCRU score, Kingsley Pearson River Valley's season came to an end as well. So congratulations to all of the football teams moving on. Congratulations to all the teams that had their season come to an end last night and a great season that they all had. It was really great football in Plymouth County, up and down our schools around the area. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football, will join us to talk the regular season finale against Storm Lake. It's coming up right here on the Coach's Corner on KLEM.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best, because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, Financial Advisor, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner, Ross Rulin, Associate Financial Advisor, or Sam Van Wettering, Associate Financial Advisor at 546-9525. Office is located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest Lamar's, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to another edition of the Coach's Corner, continuing on, brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Daniel Versteg with you. We're joined now by the playoff bound head football coach of Lamar's Community Football, Coach Ken Bigdahl. The Bulldogs a winner over Storm Lake last night on the road by the final score of 55-14. And you know, Coach, I guess the million-dollar question in a score like that, everybody got into the game, right? You were able to empty your bench last night?
Yeah, we got everybody in for at least one play anyway. Once that that third quarter starts and it's a running clock, you're talking real time. So, it's not tough, but it's like it goes faster than a person would think it would.
Yeah, boy, because, the running clock probably got going in that second quarter when you were up 41-0. I mean, what a start for you guys.
Yeah, they really did. I thought our offensive line really just took control of the game. And then, our running backs did a great job of finding holes, and our defense put us in a great position. You know what I mean? Three and out. You know what I mean? And, they were really, they're – Storm Lake's offense, they could move the ball on a lot of different teams just because, they got a 230-some-pound quarterback that, he can move and he can scramble and, get kids downfield and stuff. And so, for us to be able to cover and have them go three and out and really they had a non-existent run game, I think our defense gave up a negative 12 yards. So that's not giving any yards up, you know what I mean? So they had an outstanding night too.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, because I've seen Storm Lake play, Coach, and yeah, once that quarterback, yeah, he's about 240 pounds almost. I mean, once he's got his momentum going, he's really tough to bring down. What was the key to shutting him and I guess the whole tornado rushing attack down?
Well, I just think our front four just took control of the game just like our offensive line did. And, they were able to, maybe like the week before where they rushed upfield, they got into their lane one, they stayed outside and made him kind of stay in the pocket because, he likes to, they will boot him and get him outside. And that's what he likes, to get on the run. And he likes to throw that way. And, our two defensive ends did a great job of, forcing him to stay in the pocket. And then, we put another defensive back in the game and took out a linebacker to, I don't know what the percentage is, but they probably throw, 80-90% of the time.
Sure. Yeah, it seems like it anyway when you look at the stats and the numbers. But, again, even in that regard, with the amount of times they at least want to throw the ball, whether or not they do or not is always TBD. But with the amount of times they want to throw the ball, 150 yards really isn't that much. I mean, when you throw an extra defensive back in there, what kind of things does that allow your defense to do when it comes to stopping the passing game?
Well, I just think that allows you, you got five guys out there now that are playing coverage. It's no different than a nickel defense in college or whatever, you know what I mean? So it's just allowing us to get another guy. We counted on our front four and our middle linebacker to take care of the run. And then that just allows and frees up the defensive backs to, lock onto somebody. You got some help over the top. And so you don't have to worry about getting beat over the top, as a corner or as a nickel back. And so, cause our safeties are back there, but, it allowed us to put pressure on him, but then because he does like to scramble and, the scramble drill, everybody runs, once he scrambles, we're upfield, we're coming back, however they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. We were able to lock onto the receiver and really, force him to throw in some tight windows.
It's really good to hear the defense playing well. And we knew they could. And I guess I'm always excited too when I hear a coach especially talk about the line. I mean, because we don't get to talk about them very often. We talk about your defensive line every now and then to start the year, but it's really awesome, I guess, especially for you as a coach when you can control the game in the trenches and That just really kind of, you know, lets everybody else do whatever they want, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, that's, and we, you know, cherish our offense and defensive line. Whenever we have supper, it's always, you know, they go first because they're the protectors of the team. You know what I mean? Offensive line, you know, we're protecting the quarterback and the running backs and the D-line. They protect the secondary and the linebackers, you know. And, you know, like especially with the defensive line, you have to give up a double team so a linebacker can come free. You know what I mean? Offensive line, you know, you may drive your guy 25 yards down the field and pancake him, but, you know, they're going to say the guy who carried the ball on the, you know, on the announcer. So, you know, those guys deserve a lot of credit. They've had a great year, and you know, we expect more from them in a week.
I guess the nice thing, too, about your line is it seems like a lot of them are pretty selfless. So even if you let them go through the line first in meals, there's always stuff left over. That's something you worry about with linemen, too, right?
Yeah, no, we're pretty good. Everybody's pretty good about it. But, you know, we just feel that it's important, you know, to show our appreciation and to everybody. But, you know, they kind of do the dirty work on Fridays and, you know, they don't get their name in the paper or in the stat book or, you know, I just watched somebody pancake somebody 10 yards down the field a few minutes ago. And it's kind of like, you know, great block. But, you know, unless you're watching it on film and you probably didn't see it during the game,
right?
You know, so we try to show a lot of appreciation for those guys.
Understandably so. And like you said, it makes your whole offense go. Again, we're chatting with Ken Vigdahl, head coach of the Bulldogs. You know, that you guys run the ball again very well, and that's so good to see, especially after last week. I mean, Coach, when you're going into a game like this, after losing to Dennis and Schleswig, unfortunately, this is the second year in a row we've had this kind of scenario for you guys. How motivated were the guys to put that week behind them and to come out here and this week just you know, kind of prove that, you know, last week shouldn't have happened, I guess.
Well, the one thing we focused on is what we need to do better and how we have to do things. And, you know, the big thing also we talked about is 7, you know, get to 7, 7 wins. 7-2 is a heck of a record in high school football. Yeah. And, you know, they look over what this group has done of seniors for the last 3 years, you know, with their JV season last year and this year. And we talked about legacy a little bit of how you're leaving a legacy. And, you know, the big thing was let's just worry about 7. You know, everything else is noise to us. Let's worry about 7. Let's do the things that we need to do to beat Storm Lake. And, you know, I thought our kids came out and they responded really well. And, you know, you go back a year ago and they were reminded of this during the week. Last year in the middle of the first quarter, we're down by 7. You know what I mean? And so this year they came out. I mean, I thought we came off the ball extremely hard. And, you know, we were into that defense defensive lineman and our offensive line fired off hard, like I said, and you know it was kind of like boom, 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 and we're in the end zone, and you know you do that 2 or 3 times, and you know our defense didn't give up anything, and so it was kind of like we set the tone, and you know I know they had some injuries throughout the week in the last couple weeks, and it just kind of set the tone for the game.
It absolutely did, yeah. You know, once you guys got the ball in your playmaker's hand on the offensive side. Obviously, we've talked about the offensive line making paths for him. But once you got the ball in your ball carrier's hand on the ground attack, I mean, what was working for whether it was Jude, Giovanni, or Teagan? What was working for them to you know, just really, it seemed like, just break off big gain after big gain for you?
Well, that starts up front, like we just talked about, you know. And the big thing was we got a lot of kids that scored a lot of different touchdowns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there was about 4 or 5, maybe 6 kids that scored last night. And so that was always good to see. But, you know, I think the one thing is when you're a defense and you're chasing, the counters work really well. And so last night we were able to, you know, run the counter play quite a bit. We lined up in a different sort of unbalance that gave them a little bit of an issue. Once you put your defensive end in on the inside shade of Aiden Hogue, I mean, that whole side is going to be cleared out because we have Aiden there, and they were able to get a double team and push that, and then we're pulling 2 guys on top of that, and one's kicking out and the other one's leading up, and that really, I mean, the counters really went well last night.
And boy, Coach, you know, we mentioned it right off the top. You got everybody in. You got second, third stringers in, however deep you go on your depth chart. And, you know, normally it's just kind of, oh, it's a good thing they played. But, shoot, your second teamers got in there and found the end zone. I mean, how I guess, rewarding was that for them to be able to have something on the scoreboard, somewhat tangible for them to kind of point to toward their success?
Well, and that's what we talked about at halftime, was, you know, we talked about there's certain things in programs, there's statements that you have to make. And, you know, our older kids had made the statement in the first half of, this is, you know, this is what we've done, this is how we're going to play. And, you know, I think we were up 41-0 at that time, but we said, okay, we're going to go, you know, our two first groups, you get one series, and then we're going to work everybody else in. And so, you know, it was really good to see that, you know, when the other groups got in, we moved the ball, or, you know, at the end there, I think it was a couple minutes left, we scored a touchdown, which is awesome for those guys.
Well, the Bulldogs are on to the playoffs for the second year in a row. Again, Ken Vigdahl's with us, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. I guess, what does it mean for you? I mean, you've been the coach of this program here for 3 years now. It's the second time it's going to the playoffs. I mean, just what does it mean to be able to you know, have this much success early on, to be able to you know, have some more football to play for another year with your guys?
Well, I'm just happy for our kids. You know, there's lots of things that, you know, that we do that nobody knows about, and it's all the hours in the weight room that you spend. It's all the times at open fields. It's all the times, like today, we're, you know, our kids are up here in a little bit, and they're going to put Christmas tree lights up at the fairgrounds, and they're doing the helping the car wash for the young man that lost his life over here for a fundraiser. And so, you know, football is awesome. But this is just a great group of guys. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, we always talk about, and it's always a sad day when it ends, because we just hang out so much together, and we like each other. And, you know, I think that's a big part of what we do and what we want to accomplish. And, you know, hats off to our assistant coaches for all the hours that they put in and work that they do. And, you know, the kids have bought in pretty much since day one. And so now we're in our third year. We're in our second year of, you know, making it to the playoffs, and I couldn't be happier for them.
Oh, absolutely. They are a great, great group of kids, and it's a really awesome group to have happen to. Again, we won't know your opponent here for another about an hour and a half or so, but Coach, once you do find out that opponent, and find out who you're going to be heading to next week, what kind of things have to start for you, the coaching staff, and for the players to get ready for that?
Well, I think since we've known for the last couple of weeks, since we beat Fort Dodge, we were going to be in the playoffs. So, yep. You know, for us, we attack it just like it's just another game week. You know what I mean? Yep. It's one of those things that, you know, you wake up, we're going to have our supper on Sunday night. We're going to watch our film. Monday we'll watch our defensive side and have a regular practice. I guess I'll apologize now for the people who live around the school, because if we do go to where we went last year, the music is blaring nonstop all the time, and we're going to have to practice with that.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those things that it was probably a bigger factor than what a lot of people think, because there's no locker rooms where we were at really to go back to. And so you're on the field or around the field, and, you know, they love to blare their music.
They do.
All pregame, all half, when the game is playing right before you snap the ball. So, you know, we're going to have to practice that and be ready for everything.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I have a hunch that you're probably going back there this coming week. But we will find out in about an hour and a half officially where the Bulldogs will play in the first round. And, of course, you'll be able to hear that game right here on KLEM Radio. Coach, thanks so much for your time, as always. Best of luck to you guys, and we'll see you wherever you end up going next week.
Hey, thanks, Daniel, for all your efforts for the Bulldog football program.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Coach. That's Ken Vigdahl. He's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. We'll come back. Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler comes your way right here on the Coach's Corner on KLEM.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jays gear that will fit everyone, baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps, Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360, downtown Lamar's.
When you want to show appreciation for someone's generosity, kindness, or achievement, Dryco Products Incorporated can assist you with a wide selection of high-quality recognition products. Go to www.drycoproducts.com to see examples of the complete line of displays, building directories, employee tenure, wall of fame, memorials, sales performance, education, medical, faith, military, and much more. Dryco Products is your source for personalized gifts, such as Bible covers, wine glasses, picture frames. Almost anything is possible to personalize. Contact Dryco Products for more ideas. Dryco Products online, www.drycoproducts.com.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the Coach's Corner program this Saturday morning, brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Brandon 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Just got done talking to Ken Bigdahl, Daniel Versteg with you, and we are now joined by the head coach of the Galen Catholic football team, Coach Jeremy Schindler. Did not go the way the Jays wanted as far as a win-loss scenario, but boy, what a game they gave to the number three ranked team in the state, West Hancock, 38-22 loss in the opening round of the football postseason. Coach, I know moral victories are kind of shallow and hollow at this point in the season, because obviously the season's now done for you guys. But how proud are you of the effort you guys gave, and just the fact that West Hancock really hadn't seen a team like you outside of the number one team in the state?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we told the boys this is obviously going to be the best team that we've played so far this year. They're going to hit you in the mouth, and you got to be ready to stand up to it. And, you know, our guys, I mean, they got hit in the mouth right away, but they fought back. And even going into halftime, you know, down by two scores, you know, things could, they could unravel, they could have quit, but we came back and fought really hard in that second half and just continued to push. And so really proud of the effort they gave. I mean, as a football coach, you obviously want to come away with wins in the playoffs, but I definitely think that was probably the best game we've played all year in terms of our physicality and our effort level. And it really showed up, you know, because, you know, if we play like that against any team in our district, I think we beat the teams in our district. But obviously we didn't play like that earlier on in the year, but they did last night. And I was really proud of that.
Well, after the game, I was talking to some folks who had been, you know, following West Hancock all year, who had been, you know, watching every game and covering it for radio or whatever, and they all said that was the best any team had run the football against them pretty much all season. I mean, even you could throw in St. Hansker in there. What was the key to that? How were you able to run the ball so well against that defense?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was working for us, and we had our inside zone play was working well with our backs. Cole McCarty did a great job of deciphering what to do in our read plays. And then our QB counter also worked really well, and it really just started up front. You know, our offensive line really reset the line of scrimmage consistently all night, you know, 2 to 3 yards in the defensive backfield. I mean, we got great push. We didn't have a ton of negative plays, and so, you know, that was huge. Our offensive line came to play last night, and they did a great job of getting that initial movement, and then our running backs and quarterback did a great job of just finishing runs and always going forward and breaking arm tackles and things like that. So really proud of how those guys were able to, you know, like you said, against a really stout defense.
Yeah.
You know, control the clock and make some big plays.
I mean, I remember, I think this happened a couple of times where, you know, the play was over or about to be over anyway, so there was no penalty on it. But then I looked out of the corner of my eye and Nolan Nillis is driving some guy into the parking lot. I mean, it seemed like it happened a couple of times. I mean, just the guys on that offensive line you always talk about are you know, hard workers, guys who never get a lot of the credit, just absolutely trucking people last night, like you talked about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Nolan Nillis had a nice game. You know, Will Harpinaugh, he's played great for us all year. Jacob Galvin, as a sophomore, I thought played one of his best games. He was really physical last night. Brady Drogemiller gave us good reps in there. Dane Lehman, I mean, you can go up and down. Gabe Wilchin, every one of those guys who played for us, there's about six of them in the rotation on the offensive line last night. You know, they all did a really good job of getting after it, and that, you know, it was nice to be able to have some success running the football, because then it opened up the passing game a little bit, and we're able to do a little damage there too.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that, because that was something we talked about in the pregame. You said maybe we're gonna, you know, kind of shift off some tendencies a little bit and maybe throw on first down or throw in some different scenarios. How do you think you did? I mean, you were throwing screens, you were throwing quick crossing routes. You even had a kind of double reverse flea flicker in there too.
Yeah, we came up with that little trick play on Thursday. Coach Ellenzone and I were sitting there, and you know, we knew we needed to try and get a couple cheap ones, and we didn't score on that, but at least right. You know, we were able to pick up a first down on a key situation. You know, that's what the offense is going to continue to mold and go to as Cole becomes right. A better quarterback. You know, you saw the evolution of him from the beginning of the year to now in terms of his decisions in the running game and our read game. And he's grown so much maturity-wise in his decision-making. I look back last night, and I think there was maybe one time where I thought, oh, why didn't he keep that? Every other time he was spot on with his decisions, whether to keep it or give it to the back. I mean, he's really starting to understand that. And then you add in the fact that he has improved as a passer, and we're able to do little things like our little RPO play action type game where, you know, you put outside edge defenders in a pickle there. And what are you going to do? Who are you going to cover? Are you going to cover the running back? Are you going to tackle him? Are you going to tackle our quarterback who's run for almost 1,000 yards this year? Or are you going to go drop to your flat zone, you know? So that's where this offense is going to go as he continues to mature, and you know, he's going to have a great offseason, and he'll be real dangerous next year.
Yeah, he's going to be a force next year, as are all your running backs. Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galing Catholic Football, joining us here on the Coach's Corner. You know, yeah, offensive, again, it was Cole running the football. And there were a few times, Coach, you know, your we've talked about this before, your offense is unique in the fact that you've run the ball so much out of a spread formation, and people would probably say, well, why don't you stick a couple of tight ends in there? But it's because, like you said, you got your option look, you've got to things that can really throw defensive. I saw a ton of edge rushers, you know, seal the edge, and Cole just, you know, pulls it away from Kale, and he gets vertical and makes some plays. I mean, it's a really, really well-designed play. And again, just, you know, I guess a credit to the decision-making by Cole and him making something out of, you know, what probably could have been nothing.
Yeah, you know, we're not multiple in the sense that, you know, we run and throw it in a variety of ways, but we do run the ball a ton of different ways. We have a ton of different run blocking schemes, and I shouldn't say that. We actually don't have that many run blocking schemes. We have a lot of different action in the backfield,
sure,
which makes it look like a different play to the defense, especially if you get a defense where their linebackers are watching the backfield instead of the line of scrimmage. So, you know, we skill guys, it's easy to say, hey, I want you to do this on this play instead, and then we're going to come back and run the same kind of play, but you're going to take a different action, and you just keep the linemen all the same. Because the lineman's job is hard enough. When a defensive lineman shifts one gap over, it changes the blocking scheme for everything. So we try and keep that really simple with about five or six blocking schemes in terms of the run game for our offensive line. But we change it up all the time with our backs. And that's kind of how we're able to be multiple and give different looks in the run game. And then when you add on the growth that's going to continue to happen with the passing game, we're really going to be a tough team to stop.
Yeah, very, very tough team to stop. Jeremy Schindler, head coach, Galen Catholic Football. We've talked a bit about the offense now. Defensively, I mean, it's so tough to kind of, you know, I guess maybe accurately judge the defense because there weren't that many possessions. And the few times that you did stop them, they came in very key points. We think about the block punt there in the first half. You guys get the ball there. And I guess when you were making stops on defense, what were the things you were doing right?
Well, you know, we told them, we practiced their main set, their little wing T set, and we said, this is their main set. And I said, and we practiced it for, you know, Monday and Tuesday. We got a ton of reps against it with the scout guys. And that's a really tough offense for our scout guys to mimic and to run with the speed that West Hancock does. And then, so Wednesday we started to, we continued to work on their main set, but then we started to show them, because they've evolved over the past probably 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. where they'll snap it shotgun now and run a little spread run game, kind of like we do. Maybe not quite as much read decisions, but they'll snap that ball to that big quarterback and just run quarterback power, quarterback lead all night on you. We told the guys, we said, if you can stop their wing T attack, which I wouldn't say we stopped it, but we were slowing it down, mm-hmm. and they were becoming impatient as an offensive, you know, play calling unit, and they started to snap it to the big kid. And boy, let me tell you what, he's a load. I mean, 6'4", 215. I mean, that kid is he's got legs like tree trunks. And he just, you know, at that point, they had just decided we're going to put the ball in his hands and, mm-hmm. and he's going to win us this football game. And, you know, there were times I thought our defensive game plan was really solid. We met him in the hole a lot. It's just a matter of bringing him down. And a kid like that, you know, he's probably going to go play football somewhere in the college level and have a lot of success. You know, he's just a really talented football player.
Yeah, very, very talented. He ran for 235 yards. And, it is a testament to you that you were able to get them off system, because, I mean, for 50 years with Bob Sanger and for the first couple of years with his son Mark, I mean, it was wing T or bust. And I mean, for them to they really ditched that pretty early too. It wasn't like, oh, they gave up on it in the third quarter when the game was over. I mean, Coach, you got them out of that probably halfway through that second drive. I mean, that was really, really impressive to just kind of force them to do something different.
Yeah, they had a lot of success in the wing tee on their first drive, but after that, you know, we were able to slow them down at least a little bit, and they weren't getting a huge gashing run plays that I think they're used to. And you know, it's in talking with their coaches after the game, you know, that quarterback ran for, I think, 1,100 yards last year, and they felt that they wanted to, as they got to the dome, they felt he was kind of worn down. And so they actually made the conscious decision this year to try and not use him in the run game as much, at least until the playoffs. And they said, well, tonight's the night we're going to unleash him. And unfortunately for us, you know, he got unleashed but again, yeah, we at least stopped their fastball,
yep.
you know, for lack of a better term. And that made him go to a different look and had guys in the right spots. It's just a matter of making those tackles and bringing down guys who are big and strong.
Yeah, it's such a tough thing, and especially when they get some momentum going, it just compounds that difficultness. And unfortunately, the season comes to an end for you, Coach. But I think we talked about this in the pregame. I mean, if you can just speak to the improvement and the strides that this team made from getting, you know, shut out at home in week one, and obviously no knock to Hinton, they made the playoffs for a reason. They're a very good team. But getting shut out like you did in week one to then winning three in a row and then giving the third-ranked team in the state a ball game, I mean, how much improvement did you see from this team?
Well, I think actually Coach Sanger was talking with Coach Ellenzone after the game, and they actually divide the film up amongst their staff members, and they say, well, you watch these two games, and then they come all together and kind of discuss what they saw. And the coaches who watched the first few games of the year, they're like, man, these guys aren't very good. And the coaches who watched the games at the end of the season were like, I don't know what you're talking about, these guys are really good. And so I think that speaks to the improvement. We sure wish we could have a couple of those early season games back, but it was a new style of offense in terms of, running the quarterback, obviously a lot more than we have in years past. And so we were still getting used to that. We didn't really know what our identity, other than Cale Pearson was a stud the first two or three games. We didn't really have any other one who kind of filled that, took some of the load off for him. And obviously we developed that with Cole and even Jake Bogan coming in and giving us good carries. And then the passing game came along a little bit later on. So just a credit to our guys. I told them after the game, you know, and I give credit to our seniors, you know, starting off 0-2, you know, we could have mailed it in right there,
right.
And, you know, just ended the season and, you know, focused on basketball or whatever, you know, and these guys didn't do that. These seniors didn't let that happen. They showed great leadership. They came to work each and every single day. They worked their tails off in practice, and they continued to get better every day. And that's, you know, they led by example, and everyone else followed them. And we did. We got. I told you. I said, if the team last night plays the team, our team in week one, we might beat them by 60. it's not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, so really, really proud of how much we improved. And you know, now the improvement is going to continue. We're going to get right to work on next year and just continue to get better.
Yeah, you are. And that senior class, like you talked about, you're going to graduate, I believe, 9 of them off that roster. I mean, I guess the last thing for you, what's the hope that they leave this program with? I mean, this program and that class will be remembered for, I guess, now that their time at in the football program at Galen is done.
Well, in my tenure as the coach, we've kind of we've talked about this before, kind of roller coaster in terms of records. You know, you start and it's not very good, and then there's a slow build, and it's usually about, you know, first year's not good, second year we're kind of around 500, and then that third year it's we're a pretty good team, and that's kind of the path we've been on. And this was supposed to be the year where we had a great year last year. We lost a ton of seniors last year, and it's like, oh man, this, you know,
right,
what's going to happen this year? Well, this class didn't let it go all the way to the bottom. This class could have, you know, like I said, that 0-2 start. But, man, they really stood tall. They really invested a lot of time and effort and, you know, came out a playoff qualifier and played a whale of a game against a really good opponent. So really proud of these seniors. 3 years making the playoffs in a row. It's just a testament to their hard work and effort. And they definitely left the program in a better place than when they came in as freshmen.
Yeah, because there's a lot of guys that I am just really chomping at the bit already to see what they are going to look like next year, what kind of things they can bring to the table next year. But that'll be next year to talk about with you, Coach. So thanks again, as always, for indulging our listeners in your thought process and, you know, being able to talk through these games. We really appreciate it. Congrats on a great season, a great game last night, and enjoy your off season. Have some time with your kids. All right.
Sounds good. Thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. That's Jeremy Schindler. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football. We'll take a break. We're going to be joined by MMCRU head coach Kyle Oswald when we come back on KLEM.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
The pursuit of true health. That's the goal of Dr. Jared Langle of True Health Chiropractic Lamar's, serving the community with a holistic approach to chiropractic, guiding patients to mindful movement and proper nutrition, accepting your insurance. True Health Chiropractic, located just off Business Highway 75 South Lamar's, across from Four Brothers. Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner program, brought to you every Saturday by Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Chapman Overhead Door, and Nohava Construction. Joining me now is the head coach of MMCRU football, the Royals. That's Coach Kyle Oswald. Boy, it was the first time Marcus had hosted a playoff football game in 8 years, and well, thank goodness it was on Marcus's home field there. 50-14, the Royals take down Kingsley Pearson River Valley, improved to 7-2, and are moving on to the round of 16. In the Class A football postseason. Coach, I know this season has just been a season of firsts and a season of joy, but to have that first playoff game as an 11-man program, first at home in 8 years, and to win it like you did, just walk me through the feelings for you guys as a team.
I guess relief would probably be the first one, and then you get the joy aspect of it. I mean, we've been super close to being where we wanted to be. Feel like that breakthrough is just right on the horizon. And so being able to have that this year is, I mean, you want to be able to put it into words, and in a year people are going to forget about what you said. But the fact of the matter is that right now it is, it feels like vindication. It's not just for these kids, but even the kids that have graduated in years past who put in all the work to not get to see the fruits of their labor, but know that they get to be a part of this too. And so it's just being able to pay off. It makes all of the hurt along the way feel worth it. So that's a pretty important deal.
Coach, I know you coached, obviously, that championship team for Marcus Merritt and Cleghorn 8 years ago. And then, yeah, you guys make that shift to 11-man football. I mean, you know, the 8 years it's taken to get this program back to, you know, that level of relevancy, that level of success. I mean, just to, you know, for you, what's it like for all of that to pay off and for this community to experience successful football again?
But it definitely is a long time coming, and you have the aspect of it where, you know, people are wanting to have things that in the past, like it should have been this, should have been that, and that's why you play the game. And I don't want to throw any shade anywhere else, but it is what it is. We get wrapped up, and unfortunately high school gets wrapped up in the college in the pro realm too, where if you're not winning, people calling for your head and putting right. for sale signs in your yard and all that other crap. But the nice thing about high school football is knowing that you're making a difference in kids' lives and that you're hopefully preparing them not to just be better football players, but better young men. That's my goal, is to make better young men. And then to be able to win on top of that is you just have a thankful spirit, thankful that God provided an opportunity, provided the numbers, provided the talent, and allowing kids to see the fruits of their labor. We've had kids that have lifted throughout many a summer, and nobody showed up to play for with them, and got their butts kicked year after year. And to have guys that, and we got 8 seniors that have gone from freshmen to seniors that have just done everything along the way. Never walked away from it and given everything they had, that they get to see the fruits of their labor now. And yet the rest of our team is really young. And so to be able to have that shot of youth is a wonderful thing. And hopefully that we're able to not just be a flash in the pan year. I'm hoping that we can be a program. That's what we're wanting to be able to be, a program that is a consistent one and a successful one. And that's hard to do in high school. There's very few high schools that have that reputation of constantly being good, because it's just life. It just happens year in, year out. And so to have this, I know everybody's been hungry for it, nobody more than me. And I'm thankful is, I guess, the word that keeps coming to mind. Thankful that I have the kids I do, the coaching staff that I do, and thankful that God blessed me with this opportunity.
Yeah, and thankful is a great word to describe it, because, yeah, watching
watching from afar for so many years, it was so tough to see this program go through the downs. But now back to postseason football, back to a win, and it wasn't just you squeaked by them, Coach. It was a dominant, like I said, 50-14, and I know you had a big first half, kind of getting the majority of your points there in the first 24 minutes. Walk me through the first half. What was working? What allowed you to really pull away there to start the game?
Well, we were able to throw the ball really well tonight. I think we had 6 touchdown passes.
Wow.
And we ended up scoring, I think we scored twice in 3 plays. We ran a flea flicker out the gate to score right off the bat. And then we made a stop on defense, and then we ran 2 run plays, and the second run play busted into the house. So in 3 plays, we scored 2 touchdowns. So that's not very often that happens, and that kind of set the standard. And then I think at halftime, we were 40-6, maybe.
Yep.
But then, I mean, I'm got to credit APRV and especially their quarterback with Bo Goodwin. That kid is just a different kind of athlete, and they won the third quarter. They scored and we didn't, and then the fourth quarter we were able to get our swag back, and but we were able to do a lot what we wanted to in the first half and on offense. And the only problem with scoring fairly quick is that there was a lot of time left on the clock, so it took forever. Again, credit KPRV with their kids and their coaching staff. They didn't quit. They didn't just roll over and die. They had a good program there, especially for 2 8-man schools coming together. Mm-hmm. I mean, to have 2 8-man schools come together and do as well as they did. Again, we've been waiting 8 years for this.
Right.
And it's the same situation for us. And they had guys that got them to playoffs and the 6-2 and 6-3 record now, and that's nothing you can turn your nose up at.
Nope.
So kudos to them, and hopefully that now we're past them, we can keep moving on to the next round and the next team.
Absolutely. You know, we've talked about, again, we're talking with Kyle Oswald, head coach of MMCRU football. We've talked about your skill guys multiple times throughout the season, whether it's your wide receivers. We've talked about Brayson in the backfield, Jonah at quarterback, all those guys. And then they make the plays in the secondary. I guess I'll ask you this. What'd you see from your line today and their ability to give Jonah enough time to, I guess, be able to throw 6 touchdown passes and mess around like he did?
Well, without watching the film yet, I'm just going to assume that they did a pretty good job. I think there's a couple times where where we had some pressure that I wish we didn't have, but I'm being pretty finicky but at this level, I mean, there's 16 total teams left in the state for Class A. So we got to be picky. We got to make sure we're going to do something. If we're not willing to be picky, then honestly, we don't deserve to win the next round. So, but I think we'll be okay as far as that's concerned. We're going to hammer them on our third quarter where we lost the third quarter. And with only 16 teams left, you aren't going to probably see any other scores that are that big of a gap. Mm-hmm. So we need to be on our A game from here on out.
Yeah, absolutely, because my guess is you'll get a district champ. Obviously, we won't know until the morning, but gosh, you talked about Bo Goodwin, and I've talked to Coach Norris many times about his ability to kind of be a playmaker for them, and to, I guess, hold that offense with him in check to only 14 points. I mean, what kind of things were happening on the defensive end for you guys?
Well, we got good corners. We got really short corners, but they do a really good job. I'm going to throw a shout out to Tayden Hicks. He had a couple of touchdown passes thrown on him where he even got called for pass interference, and I don't like to harass the officials very much because I'm a basketball official and
yep.
I know what it's like on that side of it. But I feel like he just got I'm going to watch the film to be sure. But
right.
he was up in his head and thinking, what am I doing wrong? Kid didn't do anything wrong. They just, again, Goodwin threw it perfectly, and the kid made some good catches and whatnot. But we were fortunate we can cycle through guys. We've got some guys that were able to get some pressure on the quarterback there on Goodwin, and we also just were able to get the ball back. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple plays, in truth be told, and this is why football is football, where they just simply dropped the pass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is what it is. We got lucky a few times, and that helps. Yeah. But we had a couple of picks and everything else as well. So we were pretty we were lucky on a few things, but we were good on more things, and that's what was more important.
Absolutely. Yeah, it takes a good combination, especially at this point in the season. And like you said, you want to be good at more things rather than lucky at more things. And that definitely showed on the scoreboard tonight, a 50-14 win over Kingsley Pearson River Valley. Again, we don't know your opponent. We won't find out here for another while yet. But I guess the question becomes, like you talked about, the level of opponents is going to keep getting better and better as you hopefully keep winning and continue on your season. Just what maybe has to improve from the standpoint of, I guess, preparation or I guess any kind of improvement still for you guys as you try and keep moving on in the postseason?
Well, we got to stay humble and stay hungry. Everybody wants to go to that next level and the next level, and it's something that I've been blessed to experience before, but that has no bearing on now. Just because I've coached in state championship games and everything, that's nothing. And it didn't mean anything tonight. What meant so much more tonight was our kids wanted to get to next week and see what that's like. And everybody that's here deserves it. And so that laser focus that we can't take anything for granted. And, everybody that's still left deserves to be here. So I hope that'll speak enough for itself. And when you're talking 14 to 18-year-old kids, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. So hopefully it'll I'm convinced our kids are – mature enough and have matured enough to where they understand that, and we'll gladly take whoever we can get. I know who I want, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. What you want may not be what you get, but the nice thing is you got the win. And
I never get what I want.
No.
I feel like, but we'll see what. And when it comes to the state, you always scratch your head a little bit because they must have a formula, but I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they let us in on that formula sometimes, Coach. Because I think I know what the state's going to come up with, and it's totally wrong for me too. But I'm just so happy for you guys as a program and all that you've gone through to finally get to this point, have the success, and just hope it continues for you, Coach. I'm looking forward to what you got next week and hoping for another great outcome for the Royals. We always appreciate talking to you. Best of luck as you guys prepare for another round of the postseason.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. That's Kyle Oswald, head coach of MMCRU football. We're back to wrap up the Coach's Corner after this here on KLEM.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today, 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, welcome me back one final time here to the KLEM Coach's Corner program right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. Thanks again to Ken Vigdahl, Jeremy Schindler, and Kyle Oswald from Lars, Galen Catholic, and MMCRU, respectively, for joining us on this week's Coach's Corner program. And we'll be looking forward to what's coming up in the next round of the postseason. We are going to have Lamar's Community's playoff game. Opponent and location TBD. We'll find that out in T-minus 58 and a half minutes. If you're keeping track at home, they will come out at 10 o'clock from the Iowa High School Athletic Association. We'll have them on our Twitter page, and we'll post the matchup for Lamar's up on our broadcast schedule, so that is up to date when that comes out. Also coming up this week, we've got postseason volleyball for you. The Hinton Blackhawks take on Central Lyon in the regional semifinals, and then if they win that, they'll play again on Wednesday with a regional final. You'll be able to hear the Hinton Blackhawks road to state and then their contest at state right here on KLEM Radio. That's coming up this week, another busy week of high school sports on KLEM Radio. We're happy to bring it to you. But again, thanks to our coaches for joining us on this edition of the KLEM Coaches Corner. For all of us at KLEM Radio and for KLEM Sports, I'm Daniel Versteg. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.